I'm really excited about what we're doing this morning, guys. There's something that I'm going to institute here that I think is going to be new. I've heard of other extensions doing this, but I know we've never, so far as I know, have never done this in Lahaina. And I am going to be instituting what I call a theme verse. Everybody say theme verse. What this is every week we're gonna read this, we're gonna share this together. I'm gonna expound on it. This is what I'm gonna preach on this morning is our theme verse, so you understand why. And what this is gonna do is kinda help give us some direction. It's going to help give us some vision for our entire year, what we're believing for the Lord to do. It's going to kind of keep us on track. And so, so does that make sense? Okay, well, a couple of you get it, but you'll understand it, by the time the day is done. So this is what I want to do. We're going to read this theme verse together. I want everybody to stand. And I think we've got that. Have we got that ready there, Jacob? We'll bring up. Now, okay, so this is what we'll do. I'm going to read it first, and you guys just follow along. I don't want you to mess it up. And then after I go through it, then we'll all read it together, okay? If you grew up Methodist or Catholic, you know exactly how this, or Presbyterians are really good at reading stuff together. That's like all they do. We're gonna learn to get good at it too, okay? So, just follow along and listen to how I read it. This is our theme verse for 2018. This is Ephesians 2:17. Jesus brought this good news of peace to you who are far away from him. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Therefore, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Are you ready to try and read it together? Let's go back to the first slide there. So, is it there? I can't see. Okay, are you ready? Let's read it together now. Jesus brought this good news of peace to you who are far away from him. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Amen. Lord, I just pray that you would bless this word today, but God, on even a larger scale, I just pray that even today we would set the trend for where I believe you're taking us this year. God, that we would truly become what this scripture entails, Lord, a place where your Spirit dwells, a place where you feel welcome, a place, Lord, where we're all a part of the house, we're all a part of the kingdom, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that, Lord, even as I expound, as we pray into this and even unfold it, or even over this coming year, Lord, let it become so real to us. We really, truly, Jesus, want to host your presence, and we want to be sensitive to your will and your desire over us, over our lives. So bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Theme verse. This is what's going to help give vision for where we're going, what we're doing. I really praise God. I prayed a lot over this 21 days of prayer and fasting, specifically that God would begin to give us, some direction. I want to be honest with you, Pastor Josh Morocco was over here a couple weeks ago. We got to spend the day together, and he walked throughout our building and criticized everything and helped us, figure out what we need to change. And praise God, we've got this insurance money coming in. again. And I'm telling you, if you guys don't skip church, okay? If you miss for 2 weeks, you're going to come back and wonder if you came to the right building. Because there's a lot. We're going to change the carpet. We're going to fix the roof. We're going to do all of this. I had somebody, I think it was Emery, came up on Thursday and he's like, "Pastor, I was driving down the street and I could actually see our church." It's amazing, man. And so, in any event, but one of the questions, as a side note, but I'm thankful for God allowing us to be able to make some improvements on the house here. But one of the things that Pastor Josh asked is like, you know, what is the mission? What is the vision for KC Lahaina? And I wasn't able to come off with an answer real quick. You know, we don't have anything written in stone yet. And I told him, "Pastor Josh, I'm really praying about." That's what this 21 days of prayer and fasting is really about. God, what is your assignment on our house? And one of the things that he began to unfold are what I'm calling core values. And I'm gonna go over them real quickly because I know some of you are just joining us for the first time. And even if you've heard and you've been a part of every prayer service and you can say these by memory, I want these things to be so ingrained in your heart. Because what I believe is that if we can know, okay, this is what we value. These are our core values in the house. I did something with our leaders about 2 months ago, maybe even a little longer. And all of our core leaders, our ministry leaders come together. And I had them say, you know, when you brag on this church, what are you telling people? What are you proud of? Like, what do you love about KC Lahaina? And, you know, and then I also had them, I had some negative stuff in there. Tell me what you criticize. Tell me what you like. When you have a guest or a friend who comes to visit, tell them like, "Hey, sorry that, you know, this was like that." And I'm telling you guys, the reason that my wife and so many of you guys are renovating rooms and doing all this kind of stuff, I want a church that is fit for a king. I want a church that I am proud to bring everybody to, that I don't have to apologize about rips in the carpet or holes in the ceiling. And that may seem petty to some of you guys. And praise God if you know you've been a part of this family and you overlook it and you still love us anyway. But I want people walking into the house of God and being like, "Wow." And then when the Spirit of God begins to rock their lives, that they're like, "Wow." You know, and I mean, I just like, that's how I feel like, you know, I think God cares about that kind of stuff. Okay, we're not being vain or anything, but I do think God cares about it. So anyway, you know, what do you apologize for? And what are you proud of about this house? And you know what was really neat? As this list came together, all of our leaders, I found that everything that people were proud of, the things that they would share with others, it all had to do with Ohana. It all had to do with family. It all had to do with the fact that you know, I come into this church and I feel so loved. I've never been to a church. It's as loving as what I feel like the people here are. And so what I began to do, especially in this 21 days, I'm not coming up with new values, you know, things. But what I've tried to do is try and, okay, as I look and as I analyze the DNA and what's already built into the people here, how can we bring some words to this? And how can we stay true to that? Now, there's things that we need to work out, of course. But, man, how many think that it's good that we're a loving and embracing in a family sort of congregation? I think we need to capitalize and we need to build on that. And that's a lot of what our theme verse has to do with. So our values, I've got four of them. Number one, we are a commissioned people. That means we're going to be serious and we're going to be dedicated to making disciples. Right? And so that's why you're going to hear my wife bug you to get into a life group. That's why I'm going to, you know, that's why we're going to have times. Our Thursday night is going to have an equipping part every single Thursday for the next season, right? I'm going to get you laying hands on people and seeing them healed. I'm going to get you prophesying and encouraging people. That's part of discipleship. I don't want you to just come and listen to this guy talk and listen to these people sing and watch this guy pray. I want you guys to be active and participating. That there we go. So we're about the Great Commission. We make disciples. We're going to be mindful about the harvest, and we're going to be serious about preaching the Word of God. You know, that was part of the Great Commission. Go and preach the Word. And so you know, you're always going to get some Bible here. A lot of churches, watch Christian TV sometime and wait for the Bible verses to be read. Sometimes you wait a long time. And that's sad. We preach the Bible. I believe it's the inspired word of God. Here's the second thing. We're a covenant people. This is really tying into what I shared a moment ago. This embodies selfless love that loves all people. And I believe this is the basis for unity in the house. So we're going to love, and it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you come from money or you don't. It doesn't matter if you, if you've got white skin or brown skin or black skin. We're going to love you. We're going to embrace you. It doesn't matter if you've got a drug background or if you've been a saint, you're a pastor's kid, and you've never sinned in your life. Guess what? We're going to love you no matter where you are coming from, young and old, men and women, all different kinds of backgrounds. That's covenant. And guess what? We're going to love you. This is the selfless love. This is covenantal love. We're going to love you without expectation of anything in return. We're going to try anyway. It's easier said than done, right? It's like, you make covenants on your wedding day, and I'm going to love you thick and thin and better and worse. And then, that first real nasty fight, you're questioning your vows, but we're going to be true to them. We are going to be true to them. And you know what? I'm going to love you. And even if you're a knucklehead in return, I'm still going to love you. That's covenant right there. The third thing is we're a spirit-led people. This includes the will of God, the gifts of God, and the power of God. Or you could put in there the anointing of God. I've got this all written out. If you'd like a copy, just email me or text me and I'll send it to you. But we're going to be a spirit-led people. I don't want anybody who hangs around this church for any amount of time, if you're here for like a few weeks, I want you to have a sense of God's will for your life. I don't feel like Christians should be confused about what does God want me to do. I'm so confused about where the Lord would have me, what he would have me do. So we're going to know the will of God. We're going to operate. We're going to be unashamed of the gifts of God and the power of God. That really, the word that I would use to summarize that would be anointing. I believe in the anointing. Do you believe in the anointing? I believe that if God calls you, begins to put his will and his desire on the inside of your life, he's also going to give you the power to fulfill it, right? It's going to seem bigger than what you feel like God is. You're revealing your will to me. It seems like too much for me to handle. That's how you probably know it's God, when it seems too big for you, because guess what? Now you need his power to fulfill it. That makes sense? And here's the last thing, and this is going to flow out of all of these other, as we're being commissioned, we're making disciples, we're in covenant with people, we're being led by the Spirit. Church, we are going to be blessed. That's the last value. Really, I want, and that includes our family. I want people looking at your marriage. I want them looking at your children and like, man, God has been very good to you, hasn't he? Absolutely, he has. You're not going to have the crazy kids. We're not going to have backslidden kids. We're not going to have divorces. We're going to hang around the house of God, and your marriage, your family is going to be blessed. Your finances are going to be blessed. Your education, right? You're going to be our young people. You're going to be the head of the class. They're going to be our valedictorians. They're going to excel in their education. And even in the realm of health, this flu bug has been like the worst thing to hit the nation in like 30 years. You watch it. Even for months that cough hung on to me, and it was just so irritating. My family got well. I remember when Mariah, she made the declaration, our whole family is well. And I took that as a word of the Lord. And then the next night my son started coughing, and I rebuked it so hard. We are not going back into this now in Jesus' name. I'm telling you guys, we ought to be blessed in our health. That it's like, why are all the coworkers getting sick but you're healthy? Well, because Jesus, man, because I'm blessed, because you should be a part of the house of God, and God's doing some great things. And so those are our values. Everything that we do is going to flow out of that. And the biggest part of being blessed, listen, I don't ever want to fall into the trap where we are a people that, God, what's in your hand for me today? God, what's in your hand for me today? God, what's in your hand for me today? And that's all we become about. It's easy to make our prayer life about, God, what's in your hand? What can you give? How can you bless? And that's a part of God's nature, is to give. He wants to bless you. But we're always going to be a people that seek his face. We're always going to be a people that, Daddy, sometimes I'm just going to come and sit on your lap, not so you can give me something, not for a bigger allowance, not for, a blessing, but sometimes it's just because I want to be with you. So let's not ever forget that. I know when we talk about blessing, people, you know, some people would, I don't know about that. We could go dangerous place. We can. But I just believe for it, okay? If Jesus, part of his suffering was to pay for this kind of stuff, then we're gonna receive it. Amen? So looking at this theme verse, I don't have a lot to say about this. I'm really just going to break down a couple key phrases in this. And so if you're looking for notes, you might just even scribble in your Bible. This is Ephesians 2:17. Let me read it to you again. Jesus brought this good news of peace. That's the gospel of peace to you who were far away from him. How many of you were at one time far away from God? Every hand should be up, okay? All of us were at one time. We were strangers. We were foreigners. But now we can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Because of what Jesus did, now his Holy Spirit comes into our lives. I mean, how many of you, even after you got saved, you realize Holy Spirit was working on me a long time before that preacher got into my life? Holy Spirit was working on me a long time before, you know, the evangelist came or whatever the process was for you. I mean, I look at my life and it's like, God, I see you there and I see you there and I see you there. And when I felt so alone and when I was dying in a parking lot, I see your hand on my life all throughout the Holy Spirit. It's because of what Jesus did. Now Holy Spirit is here. He leads us into relationship with the Father. And then it says, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. A cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are joined together in him, becoming a holy temple. Through him, you are being made part of the dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Now, I want to talk about that first sentence, that first verse. Because of what Christ has done, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Every single one of you within the sound of my voice, listen, if you have received Jesus, and if you haven't, we'll give you opportunity today. You will be welcomed into the family. But I don't care if you've been in this church for 30 years, 40, 50 years, or I don't care if this is your first time. I don't even care if you came from Idaho. Guess what? You're a part of the family. Welcome home. Welcome home. So I want you, actually, this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person on your left, and I want you to say, you belong here. Now, I want you to turn to the other person on the other side, and I want you to say, welcome home. Now, I want you to look up to heaven, and I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's the reason we all get to be family and friends, you know. We're all citizens. We're all part of the kingdom of God. It was interesting. I'm really thankful for the time that my wife and I lived in Dallas. I don't know if you guys, you know, realize this, but Hawaii, one of the unique things that I've discovered about this place is that there are, literally, if you get on Wikipedia, you need to just read what Wikipedia has to say about Hawaii. We are the only state that has no racial minorities. And that's pretty amazing, if you ask me. I told the Thursday night crowd that I was the only brown guy in my high school growing up. The only one in Southern Illinois, okay? I mean, we go to Dallas, and white is the minority there. Okay, it's predominantly Hispanic and black, and it was an amazing. But you come here, and it's like you even look around this room, and it's a beautiful array of colors. Well, my wife said, you guys know, for those of you in the mainland, you realize even what this whole election process went through, racial tensions have been high. And I don't know if you realize that living here in the Aloha State. This is what my wife said. She's like, you know, people that have all this, you know, this struggle with other people, they just need a little Aloha in their lives. Just need to come spend a month in Hawaii, learn some Aloha and learn some Ohana, right? And so, but it was interesting, you know, one of the things that we did when we were in Dallas is we primarily traveled as evangelists, and well over half of the churches that I would preach in were Hispanic churches. And it was very interesting as we were watching this election process. I had pastors, I had one in particular who came to me in tears on one occasion. And he was terrified that the way some of this immigration stuff was going and some of the threats that were coming out, that he was worried that, man, My church, I'm going to have some of my core leaders deported if things go this way. You know, I'm going to have individuals in this. I mean, you got families who are legal citizens, but their parents are not. And I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to say, yeah, we need to boot them all out, or no, we need to make a way. It's not what I'm doing here today. I just want you to kind of get some perspective for some of the people that we've met. You meet these guys and they're afraid that their mom and dad and their grandpa is going to get deported if things play out a certain way. And I remember, you know, where I took a hard stance at one point in time, hearing and having compassion for some of these individuals. It shifted my heart a little bit in the way that we ought to pray for individuals. And I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this, I've noticed there's certain churches that operate very much the same way. In fact, when the first church that we took, I remember I would constantly hear, we were seeing growth and we were adding new people to the church, and we got to the point where we were ready to add new people into like what we would call ministers and pastors here in KC, you know, elders and deacons and things like this. And so we had new people coming in, and they've been here and they've been faithful for a year, and I think it's time for them to be on our board. I think it's time for them to be on this or that. And I remember we would get pushback from individuals. Well, my grandpa built this church, and I just don't know. I mean, this has really been in the family, and I'm not really sure if that, you know, they're new, and I don't know if they understand. And it was like there was this, almost this right, like, well, we were here first. I've been in this church for 20 years, and they've only been here for 6 months, so I don't think they have as much right to what I have. You understand what I'm saying? I know that's, you know, that's not how it, they probably didn't say it that bluntly, but, you know, they would say things like, well, us old timers, you know, us who've been here for a long time, and then they would say, you know, some opinionated thing that would alienate another group of people. Churches act this way. And I'm telling you, and if I got to prophesy it, I already feel like we're good at this. This doesn't need to come out as a rebuke. Church, we're not going to be like that. If you have been faithful to the house of God, and to maybe to KC Lahaina, you've been faithful to this place from the time that it started. I know Kodani's, I know Minister Sam, I know the Respicios. We've got a number of families. You guys have been here from day one, and I honor you, and I thank you for your faithfulness, and I'm so appreciative. But guess what? If you showed up here last week, I'm going to love you and bless you the same way that I do these men and women of God. You're all welcome here. You're all welcome here. This is what family is. This is the point. We're all citizens. That's what the Bible says. We're all citizens. And so, you know, again, just say welcome home to somebody. Even if, you know, Jesus, you know what I love about Jesus is he would go to the guys in the synagogue. He gave them a chance to come along, right? He would go to the guys in the synagogue. He'd go to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Man, these guys have been faithful to God in the best way that they knew how for many years. And so this is who I am. If you guys want to come along, I'll give you the chance. Most of them didn't, sadly, but he gave them the chance. And then he had a bunch of guys. You understand that even most of the disciples in that culture, most of these guys would have made an attempt to, the reason they knew the scriptures, the reason they knew these traditions is if they were of the elite and if they had found themselves well-studied and approved, then they would be able to enter into this kind of hierarchy in the temple and that worship system. They would become the next Pharisees and Sadducees and the rabbis and all of this kind of thing. But you understand that all 12 of the men that Jesus surrounded himself with were essentially the religious rejects. These were the guys who didn't make the cut. They were the ones who tried to be in the house of God, but they got pushed out. And Jesus is saying, no, you come. And guess what? I'm going to build a new church. We're going to start a new covenant. And you guys are going to be the foundation for this thing. In fact, his circle became, you know, you get people who are in prostitution who come and get thrown at his feet. And instead of saying, stoner, he would say, no, you know, I forgive you. Now come and follow me. I'm going to use you. I'm going to empower you. He'd take thieves and liars. And so, listen, if you have been faithful to the house of God and you're ready to go into what God has for us, welcome home. If you've been a reject in one circle or another, but, you know, maybe you wandered, maybe you backslid for a season, but you've come home, welcome home. If you have a real sketchy past, you're still dealing with some legal stuff, and, Pastor, can I do some community service while I'm here? Welcome home, buddy. I'm glad to have you. Okay, we got some of those, really. And I'm glad that you guys are here. And so here's the next verse. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's an interesting phrase. If you guys, I read a lot of commentary on this last week. The prophets primarily, you know, understand the way that what God did primarily in the Old Testament is he would minister through prophets. Right? He'd raise up a prophet. They would speak on behalf of God. What he's done in the New Testament is he's raised up apostles. And this, even to this day, I believe, some believe that that ministry has ceased, but I believe you look at the fruits of a ministry like King's Cathedral and an apostolic leader like Dr. Morocco, it's evident that the Lord still is building his church through apostles. Right? And prophets are a part of this, but this is primarily the foundation is what he did through those 12 men, minus Judas, maybe add Matthias. Personally, I believe, I don't know why I'm going off. I'll just say this real quick, and then I'll move. And if you're curious about it, just ask me later. I believe when they, in Acts chapter 1, they went into the upper room. One of the things that they did is they cast lots to elect Matthias to replace Judas. I don't think it was supposed, you realize you never read anything else about Matthias. And I don't think that he was supposed to be the one. We'll find out when we get to heaven because there's 12 stones, there's 12 gates, and they're going to have the names of these guys written on them. And so I believe you never see anybody casting lots and seeing it according to the will of God really in the New Testament at all. They did in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, these were people led by the Spirit. And who I believe the 12th was the Apostle Paul. That's just an opinion, you know. I don't know why I even said that, but that's part of our foundation. In fact, he's the foundation for all of Gentile believers. If you're not Orthodox Jew, guess what? Paul is your apostle right there. And so, anyway, so he built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In Jesus, the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. Let me ask you a question. You guys love Jesus? Okay, no hesitation. They're good. Think about this one. Do you love the church? I know you were ready to say yes to that, but I've struggled with that one on and off for the years, to be very, very honest with you guys. When I was first getting right with God, I was so thankful that he raised me up from a drug overdose. I was very thankful for Jesus. I loved Jesus. I got saved and I got right with him. And man, he turned my life around. And many of you have similar kinds of stories. It's like, yeah, Jesus has done so much for me. I absolutely love him. But then I started going to a church. It was the only church that I knew to go to at the time. This was before I went to Christ for the Nations. I started going to church and there I ran into hypocrites. And it about irritated me to no end. I really thought for a while, I got to the point, I mean, really what set it off is I watched a pastoral figure fall into an adulterous relationship. And I'm like, if this is what the church is about, I don't want anything to do with it. And I just about thought, it wasn't that I was ready to walk out on Jesus, because I'm like, Jesus, me and you will just go and we'll just do our own thing over here, right? Forget these hypocrites. But as I was contemplating that, there was a challenge that came into my heart. And, you know, one thing that I would just encourage you, I mean, a couple thoughts to consider. First of all, don't ever be somebody's reason to hate the church. Okay? If we're going to profess this thing, I mean, I'm going to be honest about my faults. I'm going to be honest about where I come short. And, you know, praise God, we're all in process. We're all working through something. We should be. But at the same time, I'm not going to come in here and put on a Christian face and, you know, and I'm so holy and I'm pastor and I'm this and that. You will never hear me cussing somebody out on the street. You will never see me in the bar unless I'm going after one of you guys to pull you out. I've done that before. You know, you will never see me partying. You'll never see me holding hands with another woman. You won't see this kind of stuff. I'm not going to live that. I'm not going to be one way here and one way out there. And that's not just for pastors, by the way. Don't let somebody see you lifting your hands in worship in here, praying for somebody in the altar, and then they get out and they see you talking nonsense in the workplace. You guys hear me? Don't be somebody's reason to despise the church, please. The other thing that I really began to consider, and there's it's really interesting here. Jesus, he talks about the church in a couple different ways. You know, he talked about in Matthew 16, he said, I will build my church. First of all, this church doesn't belong to Pastor Jacob. This church doesn't even belong to Dr. Morocco. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. In fact, you know something? The Baptist church down the street, the Pentecostal church down the street, the Methodist church. Is there a Methodist church around here? The Methodist church out here. Guess what? That church belongs to Jesus. He said, I will build my church. And so this began to shift my heart a little bit when I began to understand, you know what? This is not the invention of a man. This is not this is not the idea of some individual. This is Jesus, and he himself is building the church. And this is really important. Jesus calls the church his bride in 2 Corinthians 11. In Ephesians chapter 5, he calls the church his bride. Now, I've said this before, but you just imagine, guys, if you say, you know what, Pastor Jacob, I really think that I want to start coming to this church. In fact, I think that I want to get close to you. Would you disciple me? Because I love you. You're amazing. You're an awesome guy. You're incredible. But there's one problem. I can't stand your wife. I just, you know, I don't care the way she looks and, you know, she sings, and I just don't, I'm going to stop right there. But you understand, if you go too far down that line, buddy, maybe I will become a hypocrite. I don't know. I might just drag you outside and hurt you. You know, because guess what? We're a package deal. You can't love me and hate her, because that, it just doesn't work that way. We're one. And if you're gonna receive me, you have to receive her. We come together. And I feel like that's how Jesus is with his bride. Is Jesus, I love you, but I hate that bride of yours. How do you think Jesus feels about that? It's his bride. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are sitting here in a church today, but the next time you hear somebody dogging on the church, you better, buddy, you better be careful. You're talking about Jesus' wife right there. The other thing that he talks about, he says, Jesus, he calls the church his body in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, in Ephesians 3. This is the most common. You'll see it in Colossians 1. Constantly, he's calling the church his body. And by the same token, imagine you come up to me and, Pastor Jacob, I love hearing you preach. I love your words and, boy, your wisdom and whatever you could say. And, you know, but man, you just, I hate that beard of yours. I just, you know, you are just... You're ugly. I don't care to look at you at all. You know, can I just, maybe I'll come in with a blindfold, or I'm going to listen to the podcast. So, you know, I like you, but I just can't stand your body. You guys understand exactly what I'm saying here. How does Jesus feel? You know, Jesus, I love you. I love your teachings. I love your principles. I can't stand that body that you operate through. Here's, you know, the other thing he calls it is the temple. He calls it a temple. And of course, this is what we're reading about today. But church, we need to love what Jesus loves. And listen, Jesus loves his church. He loves his church. In fact, if you look, and one of the things that I do as a bride, you know, Ephesians 5, 27 says that Jesus is coming back for a bride that does not have spot or wrinkle or blemish. And what I would encourage you to, there's going to be times where you see blemishes in the house of God. There's going to be times you see spots and wrinkles in the house of God. But how many know you go to a wedding, and by the time that bride comes walking down the aisle to meet her groom at the altar, I mean, she is in perfect position, isn't she? I mean, her hair is done. Her dress is perfect. She's got her perfume, and even those who are around her, they've all been made ready for that moment right there. And I'm telling you, this is what Jesus is coming back for. He's coming back for a bride who's been made ready for his return, to meet him in the altar, to be betrothed to this husband. And this is what Jesus is. And so what I would encourage you, if you were to see a bride on her wedding day, and you notice that, you know, that her hair is out of place or something like that, would you just go to somebody else and, boy, look how weird her hair is. Do you see that cowlick that she's got going on in the back? And she probably doesn't even notice that's there. Is that what you would do? No. If you cared about the bride, you would go and say, hey, let's fix this that's going on back here, right? Let me help you out here. You notice that her dress is, you know, caught in her sock or something like that. I guess she wouldn't wear a sock. Never mind. I'm thinking like in her heel, right? I don't know. Whatever. It's folded up all funky. It just looks out of place. So, you know, but again, you wouldn't criticize that. And I want to encourage you guys. We don't be mindful of the way you talk about the church. Be mindful about the way that you talk about individuals in the church. I'm even teaching my kids this. My son came to me last night and he was complaining about a song that they sing in children's church. I don't know why they sing this song. Daddy, I don't like this. And they need to sing some different songs. And I said, Gabriel, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I tell everybody in my church when they come to me with something like this. I said, if you have a complaint about something, you need to be ready to be a part of the solution for it. And so I'm like, Gabriel, if you're going to complain about that song, this is what I want you to do. I want you to learn a new song. I want you to practice it. And then I want you to go to your teacher and say, you know, Miss So-and-so, would you mind? I've learned a song and I would love to lead them in this song this week. And he's like, Daddy, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sing. And then I'm like, you can't complain. Really? If you come to me and, Pastor, you really need to start this ministry, I'm like, great, how can I help you do that? Pastor, that, whatever, that instrumentalist was really off this morning, you know, great, can you play? You know, I mean, it's just, are you going to pay for lessons for them? You know, you need to be a part of this. So don't come to me with a problem and now it's my job to fix it. No, we're not going to criticize the body, right? We're going to help make the bride ready for Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the church. It says that, you know, the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. This is essential, guys. I talk about core values, and this is, just understand, Jesus is central to everything that we're doing. It always will be. He is the cornerstone. He is the foundation block. He is the start, and he is the end of everything that goes on in this house. And so if I ever find that, you know, people are walking out of youth service, you're like, boy, Rylan is so amazing. And man, that worship team that they got together, if that's consistently all that I'm hearing about that ministry, then we're going to go in and we're going to tweak some things. What I praise God is God's been doing something amazing in our youth, you know. He really, I'm meeting these guys, and for the last 3 weeks solid, we watch these young people. We have service in here on Thursday. They have service right next door. And we watch as we're ending our service. All of these kids are coming out with puffy, little red eyes. They've been crying under the presence. You know, we walk in there, and there's still kids under the power of God, and it's just like, that's happening in our youth? You know, it's amazing. And you know what I'm seeing? I'm watching these kids come out and they're talking about the glory of God. And they're talking about how they're growing in Jesus and how I never saw God in that sort of light before. And it's just, they're testifying about the goodness of God. That's the right response right there. That's where we're always going to stay. Every ministry, it ought to be pointing people to Jesus, glorifying Jesus. As people are walking away from them, man, God is so amazing. God is so incredible. Amen? Here's the next verse. It says, we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you are being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. This is the last verse. And just a couple thoughts on this. You understand that if we can learn to be one, if we can learn to really see God's temple and his presence, you know, we're being built together and we're operating the way that we ought to. You understand, church, this will become the dwelling place for God Almighty. I mean, I've been blown away already seeing the way that the Lord is moving. I'm not going to say that it's not already his dwelling place, but I'm telling you, the more that we can be united, the more that we can be yoked together, the more that we can be built and fitted together, I believe it will create a dwelling place for God Almighty. Now, let me point out, this operates on a couple, as I was reading commentaries, they pointed out the fact that, you know, this applies essentially on three different levels. Talking about the temple, it talks about what I would call the big C church. This includes, like, all churches, right? Anybody who loves Jesus. So, you know, there's some debatable ones out there. I'm not talking about Muslims. I'm not talking about Buddhists. I'm not talking about even Jehovah's Witness. I'm talking about Christ-centered, Jesus-loving, Bible-believing churches, right? And so if we are that, doesn't matter if they pray in tongues. I think it's important. I do it. I'm going to encourage you to do it. We're going to press in that direction. We're going to pray and believe for miracles. I'll cast your devils out. You know, we'll do that kind of stuff. I believe in that sort of thing. But you know what? I've got some brothers who love the Lord that they don't pray in tongues. One of my favorite prayer meetings and some of my fondest memories comes from a group of six pastors. We would get together once a week and we would pray. And only one of those six pastors, including myself, were spirit-filled. We would have some of the most amazing prayer times together. These are my brothers, Church of God, the Baptist pastor, the First Christian Church. We would all come together and we would just, man, we would see God move and he would respond. And it was one of the most incredible, it was one of the most wonderful seasons of my life. Those are my brothers. Their churches are a part of the body, and that's the Big C Church. And so you won't ever hear me dogging on the Baptist church or on the Methodist church. No, I pray for their church. Because you know what? There's going to be people that they come into this church and we'll freak them out. We're just too wild. We're too crazy. And you know what? They don't want to believe in healing. We're going to pray for them. They're going to get healed. And then they're going to be upset because they got healed. And I don't believe in that. And so, you know what? Go to a church. you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, they can go to a church that doesn't believe in that. But as long as if they believe in Jesus, can we agree on that? You know what? I'm going to pray. God, let them touch who you want them to touch. Let them grab the people that aren't going to come into our church. I know that I'm not going to be everybody's flavor. You're not going to be everybody. And so we pray. It operates on a corporate level. Now, this is us here. This is a second tier where we see the temple of God operating. It's with us together. We need you. You have a part. You have a role. If you're not involved in some capacity, if you're not in a life group, if you're not being discipled, if you're not serving in some way, I am of the mindset that everybody who makes themselves a part of a church should have an active role in the church. Okay? If you want to preach next week, I'll let you. Come, I'll just like you need to do something, all right? So everybody needs to do something, and we need you. We will never be all that God has called us to be if we don't all step into it. Okay? And then the last part, you understand you are a temple as well. Personally, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so this becomes really important because this is where the spectator has to leave altogether. You understand you can't just have the pastor doing everything for you. You can't just have our early morning prayer team doing everything for you. And, well, the worship team is going to worship for me. No, there's times where you got to get in the secret place. How does your personal temple look? Because I can't clean your temple. I can't perform worship in your temple. I can't do any of that stuff. That's your responsibility. And so how does your personal temple look? And here's the last thought. And this, I hope, will really encourage you. This is why I really feel strongly. Our kind of catchphrase, and you're going to hear us, and you're going to see it on about everything that we publish, are these two words. Welcome home. Welcome home. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from. I believe that you can find a home here. And this is kind of my thought process on this. This verse that we just read talks about how God is building a temple. He's fitting it together piece by piece. Now, there's similar verbiage in 1 Peter 2:5. And it says, you are living stones. Everybody say living stones. You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. Now, this is really significant, and I want you to consider this for a minute. There is a major difference between a living stone and a brick. A brick, they're all shaped the same. You just go grab one from the pile, you slap some mortar down, you put it there, and wonderful. Now grab the next one, and you just slap it down, and everything fits in the same mold. Everything is perfect, and it's in the line, and it's in order, and it looks clean and sharp and wonderful. I like brick, but that's not what the temple of God is made out of. He's building his temple out of living stone. And if you ever talk to a stone mason, the interesting thing about stones is they don't all fit into a mold. That mason has to take every stone individually. They study that. And how is this going to fit into this wall? They begin to look at it, and there's large stones and there's smaller stones, and they all have different texture and they all have different color, and some of them are heavy and some of them are light, and some of them will be good to put on the edge, and some will be good to put right here in the middle, and some will be a good foundation stone, and others right up on the top. And there's a place and there's a purpose for every single stone. But it takes this stone mason being so intentional as they study this stone and they look at it, and this is the shape and this is where I think it will fit perfectly. And then they put the mortar on there, and then they find another stone, and I think this will fit right nicely into this place right here. You understand that's the way that the Holy Spirit is going to direct each and every one of us. It's not going to be cookie cutter. You're not only going to think and talk and speak the same way as one another. We're not all going to have the same gift set as one another. We're all shaped different. We look different. We feel different. We think different. Every single one of us. But there is a place for you. You don't fit in my place. I don't fit in her place. We don't fit in each other's place. But there is a place for you. We're living stones that God is saying, hey, I need you to fill in this gap right here. I need to place you in this one right here. And you're going to notice as you get into this church, you're going to find that your desire and your heart is going to be pulled towards something. You might find yourself gravitating to Monday night. And I really feel like I need to help Minister Roland and Linda in the Filipino ministry. And you may find yourself gravitating, outside the house. And hand out flyers, and I need to go invite some people, and I'm gonna be on the front lines of evangelism in this house. You might find yourself gravitating towards a life group or a women's group or a men's group or whatever it might be. I'm telling you, you've got a place. You're a living stone. And if we would yield to the process, Holy Spirit's got a prime function for you in this house. It's gonna take you, he's gonna fit you in exactly where you need to be. Amen. Holy Spirit's going to help us do this. I'm going to pray a closing prayer, and then we're going to do something special here at the end. Have you got kind of the heart? We're going to unfold it. By the end of this year, you're going to know that verse by memory. I know it seems long, but you will. You'll know it, and hopefully, even more importantly, it's going to be in your heart. There was a very similar theme that was presented in the church that Lee and I based our evangelism ministry out of for years. And I'll never forget showing up and hearing, their catchphrase was, you belong here. You belong here. And I'll never forget, I sat in that for about 3 weeks, and I started to feel it. We really belong here. God's got a place for us here. Not just to come and sit and listen to the preacher, even though he was awesome. I loved it. But he had an active role, a place for us to fit into that. And I hope, I don't know if you've been here for a long time. And I know how it is, guys, complete transparency. I know how it is when a new pastor comes in. I know how it is when he and his wife start blowing up rooms and you don't know, wait, where's my ministry space now? I know how it is. And, if I hurt your feelings, we'll talk it out, okay? But I want you to understand that there is a place for you. Every single one of you, whether you've been here a long time and, even we're rearranging some things, there's a place for you. If you're new here and you don't know where you fit, man, I've never been to a church like this. We're going to find a place for you. There's something for you no matter where you're coming from. And so I just want to pray. I want you to stand all across this room. And this is how I want to pray today. I want us, we're so used to holding hands. This is what I want to do. This may seem weird to you, but I want it to feel different for you, okay? I want you to lock arms with somebody next to you. There you go. This is different, okay? But again, we're used to holding each other's hands, so this is different. You know what this is? You know what this is? We're being fitly framed together. We're being fitly framed together, okay? You lock arms with somebody, yeah, make sure everybody's got somebody. This isn't weird, all right? It's a little weird. That's okay. But we're the body. Do you feel like you're one with somebody right now? Okay, wonderful. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to begin to pray. And I want you to ask. In fact, Minister Lee, I want you to come. And I'm going to have you pray on this. But I want you to pray for that person on your right and left. That they would find their place. They're a living stone. And I want you to pray that they would find. Lord, help them find the place in the body that they belong, where they feel at home, that they can be a part of your temple, a part of your kingdom, a place where your Holy Spirit is very welcome. Amen? So as Leah begins to pray, I want you to pray for the people right next to you right now.
Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful church, these beautiful people, Lord God. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to speak like never before, so clearly, God, that we would begin to know that we know where we are supposed to be in this church. Where, God, that you would have us fit. The different ministries, the different services, the different times that we're to be here. Lord God, that we would truly find this a home every single individual, from the young babies, oh God, to the elderly, Lord Jesus, you have a place. You have new things. You have exciting things to come. So we just cry out to you and we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives and in our families and in this church. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, Amen.